If you would like to read with me today, I want to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 12. And I want to begin reading with the first verse and read about 12 or 13 verses into this chapter. So Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's having read the first 13 verses of Revelation chapter 12. With these verses being read, I want to bring before you a message, and I want to use the title today, Are You Ready to Rumble? I want you to actually today think about fighting. Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to rumble? And we will get back to these verses here, Lord willing, in just a few moments. I understand today what Brother Jackson testified about. I felt the same thing here this morning. The Lord with us. In fact, I have sat right here in this chair, it seems, for several weeks now. And when the church is singing and the church is testifying, the Lord is present. I can feel the Spirit of God among us. You know, I wish today that I could stand before you and preach a very happy, good feeling type sermon, but if I did that today, I wouldn't be following the Lord. And God has really, the last several days, these thoughts have just seemed to be burning a hole in my heart. I thought today that I would share with you one of the things for me that's hard, that's tough about being a preacher. And I want you to know that I'm sure glad to be standing here right now, because I wanted to preach this sermon about 5 days ago. And I've had to carry that with me all week. And these thoughts have been a fire, it seems, in my heart. And so today, as I come before you, I need to sound the trumpet and sound the warning. And I know that sometimes that we have to be watchmen, just like Ezekiel spoke about, that when we see things coming, that we have to sound the trumpet, that we have to sound the warning and be the watchman. And so when I think about how good that things are going, and this no doubt seems strange to us, but when I think about the good things that are happening, and I realize that when things are good is when we really have to be watchful. The Apostle Paul actually said that this is a law. If you look in Romans chapter 7, when the Apostle Paul was talking about how that his soul struggled with the flesh, when he was saying that, you know, the things I would do, I do not, the things I would not do, I do, how that he had this constant battle between the desires that were in his inward man and what the outward man wanted to do, Paul said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And I assure you that whenever that we do good, that law also applies to us. That whenever we do good, evil is going to be present with us. And I think about and have given a lot of thought this week to the fact that we have upcoming revival services scheduled. I was just about blessed out of my shoes here last Sunday. I mean, the Lord just seemed to move among us in a mighty way. And I was so thankful when I left here last Sunday, and really, as I said, for the last few weeks, I have left here so thankful for what I have been able to feel in my heart. I mean, to know that God is with us and God is moving among us and God is blessing us, and to be able to come together with God's people and just witness people getting free in the Spirit of God and rejoicing in the hope and the glory of God and shouting the praises of God and singing the praises of God. Folks, I'll tell you what, there's no place on earth that I would rather be than among those people. When God is moving and God is stirring our hearts, and I feel that I feel a great confidence in the Lord. I feel that things are working and that God is working among us and that we are headed in a good direction to have a good, successful revival meeting. I don't know if everybody feels that or not. I don't know if you are feeling the same thing I'm feeling. I don't know if the whole church is feeling like that. I do know one thing. If you have been here the last few weeks and can't feel the presence of God among us, if you'll come to the altar this morning, we'll pray with you. I don't see how anybody could have not felt it. I think that and feel that things are going well, and we're headed in the right direction. And folks, I'll tell you what, nothing would make me happier than for us to just have a teardown meeting. I mean, just to feel the presence of God and the Spirit of God and the power of God fall upon us to the point that it just greatly condemns lost people down in their souls and convicts them deeply of their sin. You know what? I long to see those times that we read about oftentimes in the Bible where the truth was preached and nothing else had to be done because people were convicted so much of their sins that they would come before the people of God and they would cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" That's what we need, isn't it? We need that type of Holy Ghost power among us. I'll tell you what, friends, when we lack Holy Ghost power, we're not going to get anything done. We need to pray and continue to pray that God's power would fall upon us in a mighty way, and that it would move not only the hearts of the lost, but that it would move our hearts. That God would burden us. You know, if you ever read about and study about days of great revival, it not only affects people that are lost, but it greatly affects people that are saved. I'll tell you what, when great revival comes, I'll tell you where you'll find the people of God many times. You'll find them awake. I mean, in the wee hours of the morning and the late hours of night, you will find them awake. You'll find God's people bowed by their bedside or bowed by their couch or somewhere else, burdened, and I mean aching in their hearts for people that are lost, praying to God that He would send revival. The prayers of God's people always precedes it. And you know what I believe? I believe that the church has been praying. I do. I feel that way. I think it's been made manifest and apparent among us that there have been some prayers that are going up. How would you like to see it? I want you to think about it with me for a little while today. How would you like to see it? How would you like to see, you know, what we might classify as being an old-time revival? I mean, how would you like to have that refreshing and that awakening where God's power would fall upon us in that way, where you could feel the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, where it would be so thick that you just feel like that you could reach out and touch Him? I've been there. I've felt that before in the Lord's churches, and God can do it again. God can bless this church. I promise you this. The Bible says that He can do exceeding abundantly above anything that we would ask or think. And I know that this church through the years has experienced some wonderful revival meetings. I know that the work that is now Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church was thrust forth from a great revival meeting that took place. But let me tell you something, friends. God right here, you know, regardless of what we think, regardless of how we view the times, regardless of what we see as the signs of the times, God on May 30th, 2008, God is still capable of starting a revival here at Fairview Memorial that has been far above what this church has ever seen. God can do it. Don't ever think that God's lost any of His power. You read Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. God says, my hand's not shortened that it can't redeem.
God hasn't lost any of his power at all, and he can still do today what he, far above what he's done in the past. He can do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. But I wanted to tell you today that if you desire these things, if you want them, if it's your heart's desire for God to bless us with great revival, you better get ready to fight for it. You better be ready to rumble, because I'll tell you what, the devil hates it. He hates it. And that's what I want to remind you of today. That if we want the blessings of God in our life, if we want the blessings of God in our church, friends, listen, I promise you that they never come easy. They never come without a struggle. They never come without a sacrifice. They never come unless people are willing to do battle with the forces of evil, because I promise you today that what we have been feeling and what we have been experiencing, and we better take heed to this, and we better be watchful, that the devil is going to try to tear it all to pieces, and if we will let him do it, that is exactly what he'll do. He is going to do his best to tear down what is building here in our church. And I'm going to try today to give you some scripture that will prove that exact thing. This 12th chapter of Revelation, as far as I'm concerned, was talking about the Lord's church, talking about the Lord's church bringing forth converts. It was talking about the Lord's church under years of a very bitter and harsh persecution. It was talking about the fact that the devil is out to fight against the Lord's church. You know, listen, where it talked about the woman bringing forth the child, travailing in birth and bringing forth the child, and the devil being right there to devour up that child. Friends, I promise you that the same thing is going on today. Every time that somebody is converted to the Lord, the devil is right there to devour them and to do whatever he can to disrupt their lives and keep them from serving the Lord. And if you're here today, if you're a child of God, if you're here today and the devil is not messing up your life and he's not afflicting you and he's not coming at you and he's not battling you, then I would advise you to get busy working for the Lord. Because if you work for God, those things are going to happen to you. You need to know that. You need to remember that. That if we're going to have great refreshing and great revival, we're going to have to be willing to fight the battle. We're going to have to be willing to face the things that Satan, the fiery darts that Satan is going to throw at us. Because whenever things are pleasing to the Lord, it puts the devil in a rage when things are making God happy. I want you to think with me about what we read in the first two chapters of the Bible, the book of Genesis. God came along and created the heavens and the earth. God has always been, and when he chose the time, he created the world. He created the world. There was a chaos there to it all. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God wasn't happy with that. And so God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God brought great light to illuminate his world that he had made. God brought plant life, vegetation on the face of the earth. God divided the land from the sea and made it the way that it still is today. God put the birds in the air. He put the creeping things on the earth. God made man. God made a beautiful garden for the man. God took the man that he had made and placed him there in the garden to dress it and to keep it. God gave the man a law to keep. And listen, he was keeping it. We think a lot of times about man's disobedience, and that's very true. But there was a time there when God gave Adam a law to keep, and he was keeping God's law. He was keeping it. God looked at him and he saw that the animals weren't a proper companion for him. And so in order to give man what he needed, he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took from him a rib, and he made a woman out of that rib, and he gave her to Adam that Adam would have a suitable helpmate. I mean, friends, listen, you read those first two chapters of the book of Genesis, and you find in the very last verse of chapter 1, it says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And I can't imagine a time that God was ever as happy with the things on the earth as he was in those times we read about there in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis, because everything was absolutely perfect. Everything that God had made was good. Everything that was happening was absolutely perfect, and there was not a flaw in it anywhere. But you know what happened? Tell me, who was it that showed up? The devil. He couldn't take that, could he? He despised that. He despised the fact that everything was good, that everything there was pleasing to God. And so he showed his ugly self, and he began to try to disrupt and tear down what God had done. The Bible tells me that there was a man that lived long ago by the name of Job. And you know what? The Bible says that he was a perfect man, that he was an upright man. The Bible tells us that Job feared God and eschewed evil, which means he shunned evil. Job reverenced God. He had a reverent fear for God, and he stayed away from things that was evil. And Job even took that to the point that he would continually offer up burnt offerings before God, because he said, you know, it could be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Job lived his life very righteously before the Lord, and he even tried to do everything he could to keep sin out of his family. I mean, I'll tell you what, God loved what he saw in Job. He loved it. What a good situation that we have with that man. Fearing God, shunning evil, offering sacrifices because of his children, because even of the possibility that his children had sinned. And Job tried to head all that off and keep things to where God would be pleased with them. And when the devil saw that situation, what did he do? He came, didn't he? He came. He came to God. He challenged him. You know, God, the only reason Job loves you is because the way you've blessed him. What about Jesus? You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, hundreds of years of prophecy were fulfilled. All of those things that have been spoken by the prophets, you know, they had prophesied through the years. They had foretold that a Redeemer is coming, There's going to be somebody that's going to come that's going to save people from their sins. God is going to send the one into the world that's able to offer the sacrifice and make the atonement that will make it possible for people to be saved and to have eternal life. And when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, every one of those scriptures were fulfilled. You know what was fulfilled? What God spoke there in the presence of Satan that we find recorded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Right back then, right there in the garden, in the eve of time, when man disobeyed God, God said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. It'll bruise his, he'll bruise his heel, but he'll also bruise your head. Talking about Jesus, wasn't he? Talking about the one that was to come. And all of that was fulfilled. And here, the Messiah had come. Well, what happened? Well, here comes the devil. From the time he was born into the world, here he comes. Trying to stop him, trying to kill him, trying to have his life taken away before he could ever get to the cross of Calvary. He took him there into the wilderness when Jesus started his public ministry about the age of 30. The devil took him there. The Spirit rather led him into the wilderness, and the devil tempted him there and tried to turn the Son of God away from God himself. Now, friends, I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you again. If the devil was willing to come to the Son of God and try to turn the sinless Son of God against the Heavenly Father, don't you think for a moment that he'll back off from you? Don't you think for a moment that you can live good enough for the devil to be afraid of you? And don't ever try to fight him by your own strength, because you're going to lose. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to wear it. I mean, if we're going to fight, and if we're going to win, we're going to have to put on the armor, and not leave any of it unattached, and not leave any of it loose, and not leave anything exposed, because the devil can find any weakness that you have. Believe that? He sure can. He's a master of disguise. The verses that I read here from the 12th chapter of Revelation about the great red dragon, I believe that he was being spoken of here in his true form. The Apostle Peter spoke of him in his true form when he said that be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He was talking about him in his truest form. But listen, when the devil comes to you, he won't approach you as that red, nasty-looking dragon. He's not going to show himself to you that way. He will transform himself. He's a master of disguise. Eve didn't see a red dragon there in the garden, did she? The devil worked through the serpent, something that she was used to seeing probably every day. He worked through that. And he is a master of disguise. But James wrote, James gave us the remedy. He gave us the recipe for success. He said, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I'm afraid sometimes we leave the most important part of that off. We might just say, well, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but there's more to it than that. Friends, listen, if you're going to resist the devil, you're going to have to first submit yourselves unto God. And I'll tell you what, listen, if we give to him just the slightest crack, he can find his way in. You give the devil an inch and he'll become a ruler. He sure will. So you got to put the armor on, and you got to put it all on. And we've got to submit ourselves to God. And let me say this, that when God is blessing your life, when you're serving the Lord and God's blessing your life, when God's blessing the church, you know, what happens way too often is we get caught off guard. We let the devil catch us off guard. When God is blessing us and we're happy in the Lord and people are rejoicing and people are shouting the praises of God, we ought to be wise enough to anticipate that the devil is going to show up and he's going to try to tear this down. We ought to just expect it. I think Paul saw that when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. I think he anticipated that the devil was going to come after them. And he warned them to put on the whole armor of God so that they could stand against the devil. When you see him coming, I mean, just as soon as he rears his ugly face and you see him coming, you run just as hard as you can run. And when you run to God. And you hide in Him. And you let God take care of it. Because, you know, far too often we try to fight the battle without the help of the Lord. And you know what happens? We lose every time. If we try to stand against him without submitting ourselves to God and without relying on the Lord and without hiding ourselves in the Lord to where we are sheltered in the arms of God, we're going to lose, people. He's going to get an advantage on us if we try to face him without a complete reliance and dependence upon God. Even Jesus did that, didn't he? Even Jesus did that. When the devil came to him and he said, well, you know, I know you're hungry. Why don't you command the stones to be made bread? What did Jesus do? He said, well, my Father said. He turned to God, didn't he? God said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. He turned to what the Lord God had said. And I'll tell you what, friends, the devil, and I, you know what, I'm confident in saying this, that there's many of you, whether you say it out loud or you don't, can say amen in your heart. The devil will get into your life and he'll get into your church before you even realize what's happened if you don't really watch and safeguard. He will slip in. He doesn't love anybody. He has no love for anybody. He has no respect for anybody. The devil will use your wife against you if he can. He'll use your husband against you if he can. He will use your children against you. He knows no moral boundaries whatsoever. He's a liar. He's the father of it. And he is absolutely out to disrupt the things that please the Lord. And so I urge today, as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, as the people of God, that we would realize that what we have happening among us is waking up and raging the red dragon. It is. It's angering him. And I assure you that he will do everything he can to stop it. Beware. Beware of the devil. We have got to keep the armor on and stay as close to God as we can stay. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. We pray for each other. And we can win. And I don't want to leave you at all with the thought that we can't. We can win. I'll tell you, there's victory in the Lord. The Lord has the power to stay the hand of the devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But that's the only way, through the Lord, through his power, that's the only way that we can win over his evil. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you remember what was said today, and you watch, because he's going to come at us. And he's going to try to tear up what God is building. I'd like for us just to have a verse or two of a song. I'd like to ask everyone to stand. I appreciate your attention today, and I just hope that something has been said that's been helpful in some way.
Number three. Let's do the first and the last. Number three.
Everybody follow the Lord today.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you whom for refuge to Jesus have fled. The soul that on Jesus have leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
You know, what has amazed me at times with God's people, and you know, honestly, if we'll really be honest with ourselves, I doubt that there's a one of us here today that's been saved that has not been guilty of this at some point in our lives. But it just amazes me sometimes with God's people how the devil will come knocking on the door and we'll just throw the door open and just say, come on in. I mean, don't we do that? I mean, things that happen that we ought to be able to look at them and say, this is not of God. This is of the devil. And we just throw back the curtain and just let him walk right in. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. I mean, we know what he's going to do, and we need to watch for it, and we need to guard against it, and we need to keep the church in the shape that God wants her to be in.
Anybody have anything on your heart today? I appreciate your attention.
If not, thank you for coming. Singing at 4 o'clock.